bubbles smoking, all covered with snow. A wind is a-blowing to the valleys below. It sighs in the chimneys, it cries at the door, telling me stories I heard long ago.
Legends are history with its shoes off. After fortresses fall and kings are forgotten, the legends remain. They belong to everybody. Climb with me to one of the peaks of the Great Smoky Mountains and look down on a land full of legends. Off to your left, the Tennessee River rolls majestically toward Chattanooga. It glitters in the sunlight like a rope of gems. To your right, set in emerald-greened hills, man-made TVA lakes shine blue as sapphires. Behind you is the North Carolina border. Indians, Frenchmen, Englishmen, and colonials saw Tennessee's green valleys from these peaks and wanted them for their own. You know the outcome. It's in the history books, on markers and monuments. But legends are part of that history, too. Up here in these mountains, frontier heroes and villains live again when the storytellers spin their yarns. And there's always one tale about brave, dashing John Sevier, Nolichucky Jack, and the part he played in that half-forgotten frontier mystery, the Lost State of Franklin.
They called proud Jack a traitor and rudely seized him in his bed. They locked his hands in iron bands, you're due for trial, they said. Oh, they said, oh, they said, oh. They locked his hands in iron bands, you're due for trial, they said, oh. The moon was dark that autumn night. Too soon the red sun's risen on Morgantown and on the cell where John Sevier's in prison, in prison, in prison. On Morgantown and on the cell where John Sevier's in prison.
There were clouds as black as a crow's wing racing across the moon that night. A band of horsemen riding grimly toward the North Carolina border, toward a jail in Hillsboro. Among them, his head high and his dark eyes burning with anger, rides the hero of King's Mountain, in handcuffs. It's 1788. There's feuding across the border along the misty peaks between Carolina and Tennessee Territory. There is no state of Tennessee, just a scattering of farms and some stockades between the mountains, and a little settlement far to the west that one day will be called Nashville. The captive in that band of horsemen is John Sevier. Sevier, idol of the frontiersman, fighter in the War of Independence, at home in a buff and blue uniform or in buckskins, just a few hours before he slept in his own bed, a free man. Now he is at the mercy of his enemies. He rides toward what seems, at the moment, a traitor's doom.
He's a proud one, Jack Sevier is. Look at him ride, stiff as a poker.
All the same, he's a rebel, setting himself up above the Carolina law, calling himself governor of a state that don't even belong to the Federation.
Well, they're as crazy as loons over there breaking off from the law and all. But if the Indians don't scalp, they'll kill each other first.
Harsh times they were 160 years ago. Man's a vapor full of woes, old saying went. Cuts a caper, down he goes. Was that how it would be with the pioneers in the heart of the Great Smokies, that mysterious, almost legendary place, the land we remember today as the Lost State of Franklin? John Sevier. They called him Nolichucky Jack. He was the governor of the State of Franklin, head of a rebel republic, leader of men outside the law. Or were they? Perhaps the truth is something else. They were forgotten and unprotected out there on the western slopes of the Wild Mountains, those men on the Tennessee frontier. Tidewater, North Carolina, left them to shift for themselves, so they formed their own state. Was that really what happened? Well, maybe. We'll never know for certain. The new state only lasted a few years. Nothing remains. Not a coin from its mint, or a boundary marker, or a scrap of its laws.
Oh, John Sevier. Oh, John Sevier. No jail bars will hold him.
But why was the head of the state of Franklin in hand irons at all? Tom Jefferson himself liked the notion of a new state in the Continental Congress. And the Congress came within 2 votes of opening the door to the Franklinders. For a little while, the future looked bright for Franklin's 25,000 people. Someday their state might be rich and powerful. The lands it claimed stretch from the Smokies to the Mississippi, from the bend of the Tennessee River to western Virginia. The lands that Franklin claimed, that was it. Land was the secret of Franklin's downfall because land was wealth. North Carolina claimed the same land. She'd had a change of heart since one of her governors called the Franklinders offscourings of the earth, fugitives from justice. Then the Tidewater sentiment was to let the frontiersmen go their own way, let them provide their own protection against the Indians. The disgusted settlers broke away, created a new state, and named it for one of the nation's heroes, old Ben Franklin. Snow lay on the ground outside the rough courthouse at Jonesboro on the day the delegates came to vote on separation.
The delegates have voted in favor of setting up our own state. 28 ayes against it, 15 noes.
Who's against it? They'll turn against us. They'll side with North Carolina.
I'm against it. John Tipton's my name. You go back home and tell your people this is fool's work. The state of Franklin is nonsense. I say it's a state of insanity.
Colonel John Tipton led the minority opposed to breaking away. He was a soldier farmer, an iron-willed man with a temper as short as the corn crop in a dry summer. From that moment on, he was John Sevier's implacable enemy.
Oh, John Sevier, oh, John Sevier, no jail bars will hold him. His friends will surely seek him there. You might as well catch Quicksilver as hold proud Jack Sevier, oh, Sevier, oh, Sevier, oh. You might as well catch Quicksilver as hold proud Jack Sevier, oh.
They swept him into an office he didn't want, those friends of John Sevier.
I was dragged with the Franklin measure by a large number of the people of this country. I didn't wholehearted agree that we ought to leave the fold, leave North Carolina. But I did go along with my friends who pleaded their case with me, and I became their governor.
No wonder John Sevier was unwilling. Franklin was hemmed in by enemies from the outside and split wide open by enemies within. But for a year, it seemed as if the state of Franklin might succeed. Its assembly established courts and a militia and a tax system. The lawmakers sent a representative to the Continental Congress. They adopted a constitution. Strangely enough, it was the North Carolina Code they copied. Then, in 1787, the death blow fell on Franklin. The new national government passed a resolution. Admission of new states would rest with the old states from which they would be carved. And when that happened, the men who stepped over the mountains were left at the mercy of their enemies in North Carolina. Tipton took that moment to strike back at Sevier. The crippled Franklin government was helpless. For months it drifted like a broken ship. Then one autumn midnight in 1788, Tipton's henchmen rode boldly into Jonesboro and clapped handcuffs on John Sevier. The news raced across Franklin like the wind.
What's going on? Why are you beating on my door like a madman?
Tipton's got him. They took Nolly Turkey Jack to Morgantown to stand trial.
You sure? What's their charge?
Treason. By their lights, General Washington himself would be a traitor was he in John Sevier's shoes.
He'll never go on trial. Now, we've got to get there and bring him back. Now, you listen to me.
They listened. And then they acted with frontier speed. Recklessly, right under the nose of the high sheriff at Morgantown, the strangers in buckskin from over the Smokies came to John Sevier's rescue. The courthouse was crowded. They craned their necks to see the mountain hero brought low by a North Carolina judge. The men in buckskin pushed inside.
John Sevier, you're charged with usurping power from the sovereign state of North Carolina. You're accused of ignoring the appointed representatives of this state and of refusing to surrender tax monies. You're charged with treason against your legal government. You're charged with...
The horse, John. She's just outside the door. Run for it.
Maybe. Slick as a willow root. Can't even see his horse's heels now, by golly.
Looks to me like the judge can save his breath to cool his porridge. Never saw a big man move so quick on his feet. He just plumb vanished into the air.
And that's the way the old people tell the story of how Nolichucky Jack escaped from John Tipton's men. To the end of his days, Sevier was a kind of uncrowned king to the frontiersmen. They heaped him with honors during his long life. 6 times he was governor of Tennessee. He served in the new federal Congress. He was the most famous man in Tennessee. But the lost state of Franklin slipped under the tides of history. An experiment that failed. A mysterious chapter in the history of the volunteer state. Had it succeeded? Well, who can tell how different things might be today?
The judge, he would have sentenced him to face an awful traitor's doom. But in a bound, proud Jack Sevier, he vanished from the room. Oh, the room, oh, the room, oh. But in a bound, proud Jack Sevier, he vanished from the room. Oh, his mare was waiting at the door. One word and he was quickly gone, and riding like the wind to where his friends would rally round, oh, round, oh, round, oh, and riding like the wind to where his friends would rally round, oh. On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow, a wind is a-blowing to the valleys below. It sighs in the chimneys, it cries at the door, telling me stories I heard long ago.
Tall Tales was written by Bill Woolsey. The storyteller, Bobby Weiner. The ballad singer, George Grice. Tonight's Tall Tales was the first of a series of retellings of famous Tennessee legends, which will be heard each Tuesday evening at this same time. Next week, the story of the Bell Witch. Tall Tales was produced by Marjorie Cooney and came to you from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, in Nashville, Tennessee.